Hello and welcome back to my FPL channel. I am FPL Dean and today I'm up and about because Sunday night football is beautiful, even when it means you get next to no sleep. I've still got some sort of energy for this early thoughts and transfer plans, early transfer plans video. And trust me, first blank game week of the season is upon us. It is game week 29. We're into the last 10 game weeks of the season. It's time to put my squad value to maximum use and try and eke out as many points as humanly possible. And hopefully you're here for the right reasons as well. Is it time to jump the gun on Haaland? Is it time to ditch the Cole Palmer train wagon that is a train wreck at the moment? And maybe it's even time to think about bringing back Bruno Fernandes if you haven't already got him. But without further ado, please feel free to like the video. That will definitely help me. And the aim is to get to 1,000 subs by the end of the season. I've got 10 weeks left to do it. I can't do it without you guys. So if you could please just log in, sign in, create an account, just subscribe. That'd be much appreciated. And without further ado, let's jump into it. What better place to start than recapping how the weekend has gone so far? And if anyone tuned in to the Saturday night reaction stream, I was not a happy camper one little bit. Not only did I see Chris Wood have actually probably his worst game I've watched all season long. I don't know how he didn't score in that game. But Milinkovic for the third week in a row sat last on my bench. 6 points this week. That's 16 points over the last 3 weeks. In the last position on my bench, I don't take back the decision. The decision to bench him there for over the other three options made perfect sense. On paper, he had the worst fixture out of my five defenders. He's the only one that actually got maximum points from the clean sheet. Mad. So, how did the team go? Obviously, Robinson, I did get that call right. I bought in 8 Nori for Hall. That was my transfer that I eventually went with. And as everyone knows, I made a deadline day stream just based off like what way the card fell. Thankfully, the card fell on just making the whole transfer, because if it had gone the other way, I would not be on a green arrow currently. So as you can see there, my old rank from game week 27 was 4,687, and it's now into 3,697. Obviously, the Newcastle and West Ham game is still yet to be played. And obviously, I've benched Isak. So provided that Isak doesn't return, Jarrod Bowen and Wan-Bissaka don't go absolutely nuts, I should actually get a green arrow. And I don't know how, considering most of my team this week were bang average. Like Brentford, where has their form gone at home? We'll talk about that in a little bit in the actual early thoughts bit. But they were disappointing, like really disappointing. Bournemouth saved my weekend fantastically. Kirk has with yet another assist. He's definitely worth the extra money over Hoyton at this point. That's 100% for certain. Clivert, again, showed that he is the pick of the Bournemouth midfielders as well. He was fantastic. Cole Palmer and Mo Salah, we're going to look at that a little bit later on. But my God, the difference between them, if you went Captain Salah and or Captain Palmer, the swing over the last 2 weeks has probably knocked you, if you went the Palmer route both games, probably about 100,000 spots at minimum, I would suggest. Obviously, the Liverpool blanks were not ideal. And then, obviously, I got carried. And I did ask for this because I needed the Arsenal clean sheet to be rubbed out. And I said, ideally, it will be Bruno Fernandes involved. And what a man. He knew that he not only has to carry Manchester United on his back, but he had to carry Rude to Forget United and the FPL D unit on his back as well. Shout out to that man. He is unbelievable. I'm so glad that when he got that red card that I didn't sell him, because the points he's got and the weeks I've played him since have definitely made it worthwhile, and I'm very happy. So other than the 6 points from Milinkovic on the bench, provided Isak doesn't go ham, I'm pretty happy with how the game weeks looked. So game week 29 early thoughts. Did anyone actually nail a replacement for Hall this week? And obviously you can't count on a clean sheet versus Southampton. So many teams now that we've expected to keep a clean sheet against Southampton have not kept a clean sheet. Liverpool, the latest example of not keeping a clean sheet against Southampton. And it hurts when you've got double defence and they just concede a goal like that. Especially Alisson and Van Dijk. Van Dijk should know better and should just cleared it. It was never Alisson's ball. He should just got rid of it. Don't know what he was doing. And it hurt. It honestly hurt. lots of other people had Sells in goal, Henderson in goal around my rank. Definitely hurt. So that was unhelpful. And let me know in the comments if you had Hall, who you traded him out for. I obviously went to 8 Nori and got 2 points. So it wasn't horrible, but it wasn't fantastic either. I'm just intrigued to know what other people did because I don't feel like there was a standout candidate unless you went for Kukurea. But Kukurea's, by the way, Kukurea's gone back-to-back 15-pointers, 30 points in 2 weeks. If you pick that up for the two-week punt, you are a very happy person. You've probably gained huge amounts of rank over the last 2 weeks because of it. Bruno Fernandes, what a star. He blanks the Arsenal defense and he rewards owners who has held him. And I've held him. I've held him for the good times. And the good times have been here the last 3 weeks. The first week was on the bench, but the man is a legend. As far as I'm concerned, he's the best player to play for Manchester United in the last 10 years. He literally is Manchester United. I can't give enough love to this man. We're going to delve into his stats a little bit later on, but he has just been fantastic. Bournemouth assets, again, continue to deliver for me as well. And Chelsea-owned goalkeepers are a disgrace to the game. No wonder Chelsea want to keep buying players. They own Sanchez, who keeps making mistakes. Ironically, he actually kept a clean sheet in this game. Jorgensen got turfed out again, so they can't make up their mind about which two keepers have actually got on the books at the moment they want to play. But then Kepa, what is he doing for his positioning on the first goal that Tottenham score? A very speculative effort that goes in. And then he comes out and just is just stupid, really. He was just stupid, giving away that and killing my massive haul that Kirkers was on. Kirkers was on track for 11 points until Kepa decided to be like Chelsea and just pathetic in goal. That's why you're not at Chelsea, mate, for that kind of goalkeeping nonsense. So the Carland audition went horribly and Forrest showed why they are a team you should be investing in. And look, Chris Wood will be probably the most transferred in forward this week. Maybe he's going to be transferred in more than Haaland based on the fact that what we saw in that game wasn't fabulous for City. Yes, the next couple of fixtures are at home. Maybe that means they're going to be better. I wouldn't be putting money on it, but it is still in my line of thinking that maybe moving Isak for Haaland. I really need to see what happens in tonight's game to be able to make an accurate decision based off that. But it's definitely something to keep in mind. The lows of Cole Palmer know no bounds. They don't. He's now missed a penalty. His perfect penalty record of 12 penalties and 12 is ended with the 13th. Maybe it's an unlucky number 13. Maybe that was the problem and he couldn't maintain it. He's now missed one. To be honest, it was actually a really well-hit penalty. It was just an amazing save from the Leicester goalkeeper. Like, fantastic save. He just did really well. I actually feel sorry for Palmer because the penalty actually wasn't bad and he was like not well as well. And we're just going to take a better look into Cole Palmer's stats over the last 7 weeks in a little bit. But Salah's king. If you can't, I think the most important thing to learn from this is if there is a differential captain, unless it looks like it's actually a decent shout, and Cole Palmer, ironically, has been a decent shout, but if Mo Salah's got half a decent fixture, I don't think you can bet against him at this point in the season. Until Liverpool have won the league, I just can't see it myself, and I think you just got to roll with it from there. So what's happened to Brentford's home form? If anyone knows, could you please let me know? Because, yeah, it's I actually don't know what's happened to it. It's they've gone down the gurgler. It's like their away form has become their home form, and now I'm sitting here going, really, Wissa and Aubameyang, I've expected more against Tottenham and Aston Villa, and in both games, they've combined for a total of four points in each game. That's not ideal. It's definitely not what I signed up for either. So, Bruno Fernandes, my man, he is a legend. The captain of my football team that I support. And he is in the captaincy debate for this weekend. His form over the last 3 weeks has been unbelievably good. He's scored 2 free kicks now in 3 games. He's got 2 assists over the same time. He's got 7 bonus points. He's done that all from an expected goal involvement of just 1.1. So he's got 4 attacking returns of 1.1 XGI. Like, this dude is unbelievably good. I think in another era, we would appreciate him more. The fact he's been in a team that's been literally surrounded by a bunch of turds for about the last 5 years basically sums up how bad Man United are, but how brilliant Bruno Fernandes is. Last 3 weeks, he cannot be disappointed with those returns, and he was definitely a good hold, and I think for the Leicester game away this weekend, I'm really excited to have him. I wouldn't be surprised if he hits up to 40 points from 4 weeks by the end of this weekend. He's been absolutely fantastic. He needs to be shouted out. He needs to be highlighted. He's literally been a brilliant asset. So the captaincy choice this week. Now, it wasn't pretty last week. It was 6 points for Salah and Cole Palmer was three points doubled, which was six. And then Mo Salah was 6 points doubled, 12. This week, it's 30 points versus two. Like, that's a 28-point difference. Obviously, you've owned players. So really, it was 15 points versus one. It was a 14-point swing if you captain Salah over Palmer this week. So combined over the 2 weeks, that's a 17-point swing. Absolutely huge. Again, there we can see, and ironically, Cole Palmer had a penalty, missed it. Mo Salah gets two, literally did not much else in this game, scored them both, ends up with a three bonus as well. Like, that is the difference here. We're talking about next level. Mo Salah's just a freak. Like, honestly, he's a freak. I hate the fact that he plays for Liverpool. That pisses me off every time I watch Liverpool play. And owning him and captaining him so much just feels wrong from a Man United fan's perspective. But there's no denying he's having a GOAT season. If he doesn't win the Ballon d'Or, FIFA might as well just sack themselves, because that just shouldn't happen. He's been so above and beyond the best player in the game this calendar year, this season. I don't care what happens in terms of winning things. His records this season are unbeatable. If anyone else wins it, it's an absolute sham. And that's coming from a United fan. He has been brilliant, and it's just unfortunate if you captained Cole Palmer. Who could have predicted that kind of a swing based off those fixtures alone? So let's have a look at Cole Palmer's last 7 weeks. It hasn't been pretty. Like, it's been tough. He scored 18 points in the last 7 weeks. That's less than 3 points per game, which is insane. For a dude that is the second highest scoring player in fantasy still this season, it's an alarming drop-off. An alarming drop-off over the last 7 weeks. Yes, Jackson hasn't been available for most of it, and maybe that's coming into the problems of why Cole Palmer hasn't been delivering the same amount of points. That is all well and good, but you'll be expecting more than just one assist from Cole Palmer over the last 7 games. And at that price, I think he got to a maximum of 11.5, and he's now back down to 11. There's every chance he's going to drop to 10.9 before the deadline, maybe even 10.8 with the rate that he's going to be sold. Lots of people are going to move him on potentially to buy an Erling Haaland, and that's definitely probably the route that I would go as well. Mo Salah, by the way, if you sell Mo Salah and you're not on a free hit, you're an idiot. You might as well delete your team and just forget the season. You can't go without him. Until Liverpool have won the league, which may be in 5 games' time, he's an essential player to own from game week 30 onwards. Yes, if you're free hitting this week, 100% you take him out of your team, obviously. But there is no reason to not be keeping that man. Everyone that owns him probably has a boatload of team value tied up in him. It makes no sense to sell him to then try and bring him back. And I'm telling you, Haaland is not worth it if you're selling Mo Salah at all. He's just not worth it. So yeah, 18 points, not good enough. That is from 4.9 expected goal involvement over these 7 weeks. So his expected goal involvement's actually been perfectly fine. He's just massively under-delivered. And with the fixtures in front of him, Arsenal away, Tottenham at home, Brentford away, two of those 3 games are away from home. It doesn't look good. Maybe you can go without him until game week 32. That's what I'm saying. Maybe you don't need him for the next 29 and 30. If you're wildcarding him 31, I think you can safely say you can ditch Cole Palmer this week. Obviously, if you want to hold him, he's going to start to become a differential because so many people are going to be selling him. And I'm still unsure which way I'm going to go because I've only got 2 free transfers this week, and that's going to come into my line of thinking, whether I really want to take a -4 or not. And that also came into my thinking this weekend as well. But it's definitely something to think about, and Cole Palmer just hasn't been good enough as of late. So the assistant manager this week, again, I just want to highlight this. Ruben Amorim, 9 points. Table bonus, 0.8 million. Ange Postecoglou, 1.1 million, 10 points. At the moment, I had him ranked at the beginning of the weekend. Graham Potter, number one. Ange, number two. Amorim, number three. Now, no one's actually scored more than 10 points this game week in terms of managers. And it just goes to show that table bonus here is still king. These guys only got draws, and Andrew's actually the currently the top scoring manager of the round with that draw. So that's how good it is. Obviously, I don't know why it says Pereira there instead of Amarin. That's obviously a mistake. I am kind of tired. That's not an excuse, but I should say Amarin. They're both from Portugal, right? So it doesn't really matter either way. But that really should say Amarin. Actually, Pereira's from Brazil. I'm lying. I'm just doing them all a disservice right now. But essentially, I just want to show that table bonus still is king. And I pretty much called that those two were actually pretty good shouts this weekend. So onto my potential transfer plans for game week 29. And there are three of them. So one move is I could just... If I just wanted to field an 11 this week, I could actually move Fabianski two cells and roll everything else and just play a 4-4-2. That is quite possible. It is an option in on my team, and I'll show you what that looks like on paper in a little bit. But this is the first option I'm looking at. I think it makes more sense, and that these, and this is a set of three moves that are in combined together. Like if I'm doing one of these, they're all happening most likely. Maybe the midfielder one might be slightly different in terms of the midfielder I land on and maybe the goalkeeper, but the forward is definitely the one that would be moving for that forward. So Alisson Becker might be sacrificial. Matt Sells, Nottingham Forest run from 29 onwards is amazing. And we've just been remembered about how good their defence has been the last few weeks. Yes, they went off the boil a little bit, but they're so good at keeping clean sheets. And Matt Sells is a top scoring goalkeeper this season for a reason. He has been unbelievably good. So the second transfer in this set of three would be Cole Palmer out. And look, as I've said, this last 7 weeks just show that Cole Palmer just isn't performing at the moment. And at that price, I think it makes sense to move him potentially to someone that does have nicer fixtures, potentially could be a better captaincy shout. It makes a lot of sense. Now, Savinho is a risky pick, and I'm going to go into the line of thinking behind that a little bit more. But he has been starting. Like, he started the last 5 games. Yes, Man City have had harder fixtures, but they are coming up against teams now that should be easier for them to score against. And if that's the case, Savinho does look like a pretty nice option. Particularly the price point he is, 6.2 million is pretty nice for a nice little differential. And it's only something I've cooked up today. And it allows this last transfer to happen as well. And that's Isak to Erling Haaland. Now, a lot of people go, is he really worth the hassle? And honestly, based off what I saw this weekend when I was watching the game, I don't think he is. But at the same time, Cole Palmer's absolutely stinking it up. And in reality, it's weighing up the one or the other. It's really Haaland and Savinho against Isak and Palmer, which on paper, most game weeks you would say Isak Palmer should win that. But Palmer's just been so out of form. And maybe I should just hold Isak and just forego Haaland and just forget about him. I'm not sure, but it's definitely into my line of thinking. It's either that or I could do another goalkeeper transfer and move a different player around, and it could be Gibbs White in the midfield for Palmer, and then maybe it's a Haaland for a Wisser instead. Maybe that makes more sense and I'll hold it Isak. I'm just not sure if it's actually physically possible, but those are the three moves that I'm looking potentially to do at this point. And yeah, I don't know. But let's have a look what it actually looks like on paper now. So, here we are. Game week 28, 62 points. This is how the team's looking. Let's go to the transfers tab and have a look at what I'm potentially looking at. So I've got 1.1 in the bank, 2 free transfers. As I said there, I could easily just do Matt Sells in and roll. That would mean I'd have a squad this week of Sells, Kerkez, Robinson, Aitnori, Milinkovic, Palmer, Mbeumo, Clivert, Bruno Fernandes, Wood, and Wissa. Not a horrible fixture, and they would actually be able to roll one transfer and had to have two for the following week in game week 30, which doesn't sound horrible, right? Like, it doesn't sound horrible. The other ones obviously involve this. So it's getting rid of Trent. No, it's not. It's keeping Trent. it's getting rid of Cole Palmer and bringing in Savinho, and then it's getting rid of Isak and bringing in Haaland. So as you can see, it's going to cost 4 points. I'm going to be minus 4, but 0.4 is still left in the bank. That allows you to do a few things with Robinson in game week 30. So it allows me to bring in Munoz, for Robinson, which looks really good on paper, and I'm quite happy with that. It gives you double Forest defense, which in reality, if you look at the fixtures coming up, looks pretty good on paper, right? Like Ipswich away, Man United at home, Aston Villa away, not ideal. But then it's Everton at home, Spurs away, Brentford at home, Palace away, Leicester at home, West Ham away. Like, there's a lot of fixtures in there where I think that potentially owning two of their defenders could be okay. It does shut me off, though, from getting Morgan Gibbs-White. So in the other event that I don't do that, I could go to a, say, like a Saar. Like, again, it's Southampton. I'm betting against Southampton. And Southampton, I just feel like Southampton are going to score, right? And that would just make this whole transfer in itself feel bad. That gives you an extra 1.1, but it does allow me to bring in Gibbs-White instead, which does look pretty nice. I won't lie. And that would give me a better squad. That would give me a 3-4-3. So that would give me Fernandez, Gibbs-White, and Buemo, Clive at Wissa, Haaland, Wood. And then it'd be Aitnori, Milinkovic, and Kirkez. Like, that looks pretty good on paper. Or maybe I just back in Robinson to do the job against Tottenham and instead bench Kirkez. That could also be an option. Like, the 4-4-2 this week makes a lot of sense on paper. I just don't know. Like, let's just restore Isak for a second and say I just go to someone else. Maybe I just do Gibbs-White and Saar in. That is your 6.6 in the bank. It still doesn't feel great. So, like, this is the quandary I'm in. Like, the other players I do like the look of, obviously, other than Gibbs-White. And Gibbs-White, by the way, has been super consistent. Yes, he hasn't scored massive hauls, but 6-10, 8-1, 5-2, 16-5, 5-3-5. Look at the teams he's actually got some of these assists again. Like, they're decent teams. And then obviously the run of fixtures coming up from an attacking perspective looks really good for Forest, which is why I think that potentially maybe owning a second one is there. It's just I don't like any of the other goalkeepers this week. Like, if we have a look at the rest, like Jordan Pickford's fixtures run out. Maybe I could bring in just Raya. Maybe that's what I need to do, just a Raya in. But then Raya's fixtures got Chelsea, Fulham, Everton, Brentford. Like, it's a decent run of fixtures for Arsenal, don't get me wrong. I just don't want to be mucking around with goalkeepers. So maybe in another world, maybe I just do Fabianski out and say let's go for a Saar there. That gives you 11.6. I could even leave Cole Palmer there and just keep Becker and just roll with it. This is all provided I don't go of Haaland, right? If I go of Haaland, I have to probably get rid of Trent, or I have to get rid of... Let's have a look. Let's see if we can get rid of Trent, what that would give me instead. So if I kept Saar and then say I got rid of Wissa, that doesn't give me enough money. You see what I'm saying? Like, let's restore that. If we go there, this might be able to give me enough. Let's have a look. Haaland. Oops, sorry. Let's go to all players. Haaland. That gives you 5.5 for a goalkeeper. Like, it's just not, it's physically not possible. The only way to do it is to, all right, let's just restore Becker for a second. I could get 10.8, right? I could get a Gibbs-White. And then let's go, say, for a 4.3 gives you, like, no good options as well, which is, like, if we could look at defenders, who's good at 4.3? Like, there is no one good at 4.3. They're all 4.4, 4.5. Ideally, I'd like to go Wan-Bissaka, but then in order to do that, I would still need to make money from somewhere else. It would actually require a minus 8. Like, this then would become... I don't know. Like, and here I could potentially go a... Where are we? Let's go to... Sorry, goalkeepers. Let's bring out Saar again. Just want to see if this is... So I could, in theory, then go to, like, a Bowen. And this all depends on how Bowen goes tonight, right? Like, Bowen might not go amazing tonight, but I can actually afford that. But it would cost me 8 points. And I don't know if taking 8 points to make this lineup happen makes any sense at all. But what I would say is that post-game week, 29, I'm going to be looking pretty damn good. I'm going to have Haaland for Leicester at home. Looks amazing. I've obviously got Jarrod Bowen. The thing is like the midfielders. If you have a look at the midfielders, and let's get rid of that for a second. I currently own four of the top six midfielders. I own Salah, I own Palmer, I own Mbeumo, I own Kluivert, and I own Fernandes. After this week, I'll actually own the top five scoring midfielders for the season, most likely, provided Bruno Fernandes gets at least 3 points against Leicester, which you would expect the odds are that he probably will. Like, do I even need to change my midfield? Maybe I just need to, like, figure out how to do it. Cole Palmer just seems like... I mean, the fixtures to Chelsea aren't brilliant, but they do come back online 32 to 34, and then they finish really badly. Like, I just think that Cole Palmer's probably someone you can get rid of, and that these other ones are going to probably catch him. Like, Son doesn't really interest me, and people like talking about him, but like, he starts on the bench far too often at this moment in time to be a warranted option, which is why I think that the best five actually at the moment is Fernandes, Salah, Bowen, and Mbeumo, and Kluivert. Now, there is a world where I think Mbeumo might not be as good an option as, say, a Morgan Gibbs-White either, which is why I kind of wanted to have my third Forest player in there. It's just you can't have everyone, and that's kind of my line of thinking. I think the most likely option is I don't take a hit at this moment in time, but I do like the look of Haaland, Savio, and Sells this week. I just feel like I'd rather Gibbs-White. I just don't know what other goalkeeper, as I said, that I like. Like, most goalkeepers this week have bad fixtures. And that's why I don't really rate having any of them. So for me, it's just one of them weird ones. I can't say that anyone's going to actually do any good here. So it's hard to recommend anyone out of this list. Maybe Areola and Sarr are actually the two best options this week and you just roll with them. But yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Those are my thoughts anyway. I know I've rambled on there for a bit, but hopefully it's made a little bit of sense for everyone that's watching. So yeah, that's the end of my early thoughts and my transfer plans as they currently stand for blank game week 29. Let me know in the comments what your plans are, how you're going this week. Are you hoping for a miracle tonight? Are you on track for a green arrow? Are you on track for a red arrow? Or is it too hard to tell? At the moment, all three options are in play for me, depending on how well Isak and Bowen go tonight. If both of them don't do very well, or if just one of them does half decently, I'm probably on track for a small green. Otherwise, it could be a grey. Otherwise, it could even be a small red. Either way, there's not going to be too much. I'm not too displeased of how my one transfer went this week. Would I have liked to have held it and kept it? Probably not. I'd be 2 points worse off. And I still think that Eight Nori is a defender I would have bought in anyway. Maybe if I had my time again, I would have gone one Bissaka instead of Eight Nori. But the next 4 weeks before I wildcard just made so much more sense to go for Eight Nori than one Bissaka. Those fixtures for Wolves did look really good on paper, and hopefully it does pay off later on. Before you go, please smash a like on the video. I'll be back tomorrow for differentials, and then I'll be back on Wednesday for a wildcard / free hit draft. If you are using either of them chips this week, I recommend you watch this Wednesday. That video will be purely about that. And then Thursday, I'll be back for transfer tips and preview. And then Friday, I'll be here with my team selection. And I'll see you on Saturday. It's a later deadline stream this week, 1:30 in the UK time is the deadline cutoff. And yeah, as I said, make sure you sub before you go as well. That's been the D Unit. Thanks for watching.